My name is BT Tao, and this interview was recorded on a rooftop in a small village called Boutharar in Morocco. I spent a week walking through the orange valleys and rocky ridgelines of the Atlas Mountains, staying in guest houses and learning about the local Amazigh people, who are the First Nations people in this part of northern Africa. Although it's dry and arid, rivers snake through the mountains, and local people can grow everything they need to survive. Out here, even the closest city of Marrakesh may as well have been another country for how distant it felt. So distant, in fact, that we were unaware of major protests going on across the country during that same week in late September.
I'm Fatem Zahra. I'm from Morocco, exactly south Morocco.
And you're an Amazigh woman?
Yeah, I am an Amazigh woman.
Yeah. I sat down with my tour leader, Fatima Zahra, to talk about what life is like for the women in these areas. I am so grateful to her for being so generous with her time and information, especially given that throughout our conversation, it's clear that many women and girls in these remote parts of Morocco face quite significant challenges. But I'll let her do the talking. Here's part one of my chat with Fatim Zahra. You were telling me the other day that many children, especially girls, will do school until about 12 years old,
yeah.
But then this is the ones in remote areas. They don't continue school because it's too expensive. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
I'm going now to tell you about the Amazigh ladies who live in the mountains. The big problem that they have is they doesn't finish the school because they have only the primary school in the village. So they start from, six years old. To 12, and they stop studying because they doesn't have as I told you, they doesn't have middle school and high school, and it's a really big problem because most of them get married in an early age, and they doesn't have any opportunities to finish the school or having any opportunities to work.
And so today on our walk, some girls stopped you and asking you how you learnt the languages that you know, and so you think that many girls would like the opportunity to
really
study.
I see when I was talking to them, I see the sadness in their eyes, which makes me sad as well and broken my heart, because I asked them, one of them was 16 and another one she was 21, I guess, and the oldest one, the 21, she's married, and the little one, she said, like, she asked me, and the smile in her lips, she said, can I ask you, are you Moroccan, and you go with the people from around the world, and you speak at least two languages, French and English, how do you learn this? Like, she thought in her mind that all girls in the world stop in early age like her. Amazigh woman, most of them, like, has a small world, and they thought that all girls are like them, that she will stop in, for example, 12, and in 16 she will get married and have kids already.
Wow.
Yeah, so them, as I told you, them, the world is very small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once they're married, their husband has control over...
Of course, yeah. When they get married, they have to stay only home and doing a lot of work. For example, wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, preparing the breakfast for the husband and his family as well. So she have to cook for everybody and go into the garden to grab some grass for the animals. Then she come back home, can take care of the kids. And yeah, the men always tell the control of her and of the children.
Do you think that things will... more opportunities will be available for girls growing up?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you think that might happen?
Like, if the government try to give more opportunities to those ladies to have to finish the kids or build more schools, I think give them some amount every month to encourage them to buy what they need, buy some clothes, maybe buy everything has a relation with the school. So this is well encourage the parents as well to send them kids to finish the school, and when they finish school, to give them opportunity to have work after the school directly, because we have this problem as well.
You're like quite an outlier in that you work, you're very independent, you make your own money, and so that's unusual for the girls to
exactly
see.
Yeah, most of the girls, when you was walking, you see them, how they, most of, I mean half of them think that I'm with you, I'm from maybe I don't know where, but then the other half, they're really surprised, like the one that we see today, like they have a lot of questions inside the mind, and you know, they was looking at me like weird. They say, wow, what this girl doing here? For what she's here? She's Moroccan, so she's Amazigh. What she was? What she do here? Her place is house, you know. But I was answering about them questions and talk with them, chit chat with them. It was so good. But as I told you this morning, it's broken my heart.
Yeah. But you, I've also witnessed over the past week traveling with you how much love there is between between you and other Amazigh women, and how some women command a lot of respect in their communities. So what do you love about being an Amazigh woman?
I love about being an Amazigh woman. We are very brave. Even the obstacles that we have in our society and our world, I'm very brave. As I said, strong and free. Because I show you our sample, it's free men. So we are all of us, Amazigh people, we are free. And we have enough power to be one day, to be something big in this world, I think. Yeah, especially Amazigh women. And you see how even they are not educated, they are smart. They make, just in a small example, they are artists. By heart, like they make a lot of beautiful rugs, and they use just the imagination. They never go to school. They never know what's how just to hold a pen, and they see the beauty of the carpets that they make. So I'm so glad to be Amazigh.
So do you think that the women in the cities, like, it's quite different for them accessing education and work?
Yeah, it for sure. There are. I mean, there is a huge difference between the ladies who live in the city and the ladies who live in the mountains, or Amazigh people in general, because they have more opportunities to finish the school, having experiences. I mean, the work.
How do men view that women that work?
To be honest, as I told you, like if they are in the city, it's normal. There is a lot of women who are working and having family, creating a little family, and it's okay. But in the Amazigh society, or the people who live in a village, it's not normal anymore. The right place for a woman is her house, take care of the babies and stay in home, and the man, he always working outside and making money, and I mean, make the life easy for the woman and the children. So I know some examples that girls are working, and I mean, they are in the right, I mean, for them it's the right age to get married, but the men ask them to get married and stay home if they want.
They have to give up their work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So if they are not, so they will not, no one will accept that. Especially, as I told you, in the villages. Yeah, thank you so much.
No, thank
you. Yeah, I hope that we're going to meet as soon as possible, inshallah, if you come back here in Morocco.
Thank you for listening to my chat with Fatim Zahra, an Amazigh woman from Morocco, speaking with me about the life and challenges of women and girls in the remote parts of the Atlas Mountains.